the wells that his father Abraham had come, had dug as long as, and then he continued on and he kept digging wells. And we were talking about digging the wells of salvation, setting up new practices, drawing of living water from the Lord. We should always be in contact with that fountain, that well that springs up on the inside of us and drawing from the Lord. And I really enjoyed that one. But this morning, I want to preach a message for you called, I Was Blind, But Now I See. And we're going to be looking at Jesus and blind men of the Bible. And I think we all have areas of our lives where we can look back and say, I was blind, but now I see. And I'm so glad that you now see. I'm so glad for the things where revelation and understanding has come from the Word, and now I see. I would much rather see than stay in blindness. And so, but today's stories, Jesus healed many people of who had physical blindness. And there's too many stories without through the four Gospels to cover them all, so we're going to have to do a little bit of condensing. But if you do a quick Google search and say, how many blind men did Jesus heal? And you will get different numbers each time. I did this multiple times just to prove this out. One time, it came up, there was four. Another time, it came up and told me there was six. Another time, it came and told me there were eight. And I just wanted to say that because we're going back to what we said a little while. You can't always trust what you see online. And AI does not know everything. You need to know your Bible. And so, is it four? Is it six? Is it eight? Well, it's probably, Jesus probably healed a lot more than that. But how many stories do we have? And today we're going to cover four stories. And within that story, some of those stories have variations that get counted as separate, but they really aren't separate. There's also a fifth story of Jesus healing a blind, deaf, and mute guy who was demon-possessed. And I put that one into a different category because it wasn't a physical ailment. It was a spiritual condition. And so today we're going to be covering four stories. But beyond the individual experiences these men had with Jesus, we also have instances of mass healing, where it says that the multitude came to Jesus and he healed all their sick. And it says, and there were many lame and many blind among them. And so we have two references to that, where Jesus is not just dealing with individuals, he's just healing a whole crowd. But today we're going to be looking at four different stories. And so, like we did when we covered our lion stories a few weeks ago, we are going to give you a paraphrase three of the stories, and then we'll dig deep into the fourth one because we don't have time for all four. But the first story we want to tackle this morning is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, and we can call it Two Blind Men in the House. And the story begins like this. Jesus is at home at his house in Capernaum. And when you say that, a lot of people go like, what? Jesus had a house? I thought he was in Nazareth. No, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He spent some of his formative years in Egypt, and then he was raised till he was older in Nazareth, and during the time of his ministry, he actually lived at Capernaum on the sea. He had a house on the sea, and people don't like to talk about that because Jesus gets portrayed by the religious ideals that he was this poor beggar rabbi, and that he was living, you know, place to place, never knowing where it was. Well, Jesus did say that foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's referring to he's traveling. He spent 3 years traveling from place to place, not necessarily knowing where he was going to be that day, but he did have a house in Capernaum. And so this story takes place at his house in Capernaum, and we also see this story in this house in the story of the four crazy friends who brought their paralyzed friend. That story takes place in Capernaum. The multitude had surrounded the house, and it said there wasn't room in the house or outside of the house. They couldn't even get near the door. So what did they do? They climbed up onto the roof and they started ripping the roof off to lower the paralyzed man down. And you notice no one said, hey, stop ripping my roof off. Why? Because it was Jesus's roof and he was a carpenter. He can fix it. But here in Capernaum, we have Jesus is at home and he's passing through the city and he's heading back to his house when two blind men hear that Jesus is passing by and they begin to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on us. And it says that Jesus just kept on going and he went into the house. Oh, how rude of Jesus. He just ignored those poor blind men and kept going. No, he was finding out where their faith was at, what they were willing to do. And so it says they found their way into the house. That's kind of bold of them. Just walking into somebody else's house. Where did he go? Oh, here's the door. Let's go in after him. And it says, and when they had come into the house, Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And their response was simply, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be to you. Jesus said, according to your faith. It wasn't according to his faith. It wasn't on his faith that he was doing this. It was their faith that grabbed hold of the miracle that they needed. And Jesus knew they had faith because people who don't have faith won't take the extra step. They won't go out of their way. They won't be inconvenienced. Oh, Jesus, he's moved on. Oh, I guess I'm just stuck. No, faith says, I'm going after it and I'm going to get it. Come on, like the woman with the issue of blood, she wanted to get to Jesus. So what'd she do? She clawed her way through the crowd to get to Jesus and grabbed hold of the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Come on, your faith will lead you to step beyond inconveniences. It won't just say, oh, if Jesus wants to, he will. No, if Jesus wanted to, he could have turned aside when they called him the first time. But their faith pushed them forward to get there. Where is that house? Where is that door? I'm following and after. And their faith, according to their faith, Jesus said, let it be to you. And as he touched their eyes were opened. That's story number one. Story number two is called The Blind Men of Bethsaida. The Blind Man of Bethsaida. So it takes place in the town of Bethsaida. And this story is much different than the first one because it begins like this. They brought a blind man to him and they begged him that he would heal him. This is a different situation. The last story, there was nothing that was going to stand in the way of those blind men. This guy in this story, he did not come of his own accord. They brought him and said, Jesus, you need to do this. Please do this. I kind of see this as they're most likely they are his caregivers and they are done having to give care. They're like, you need to do something about this because we don't want to do it anymore. Please, Jesus, please, please. You know what? Jesus doesn't care about your begging. Jesus was never moved by someone's begging. He was always moved by someone's faith. And so they bring this man to him and they beg him. And what does Jesus do? He grabs the man by the hand and him and the man walk out of the city. Why? He's getting away from everything they have to say and everything they want. And I can guarantee you on the way, Jesus is talking to that man, finding out what he wants. Come on. Jesus always will locate where your faith was. He tested it in the first people. Are these other blind men willing to follow? Are they willing to push through? On that walk, he's walking this man to outside of the city, away from everybody else. And you know what? It's good to get away from the crowd. You don't need to do things because other people want them done. What do you want? What do you believe? What is it that you know? What are you willing to press through for? And so Jesus takes him by the hand and he comes out of the city and he does it a little different this time. And he spits in the guy's eyes. And you got to think as the blind man is like, what the heck? That's not what I wanted. I want my sight. I didn't need a shower. He hawks in this guy's eyes. Oh, Jesus wouldn't. Yes, Jesus did it. Well, that's not very polite. No. Who gives a rip about politeness? Do you want to see or not? He spits in his eyes. And then he says, what do you see? And he says back, I see men like trees. Well, that's not good vision, right? That's blurry vision. That's drawn out vision. It's like, I see shapes. Men aren't supposed to look like trees. Men are supposed to look like men. But that instance, it opened up his heart enough to believe. And Jesus then touched his eyes. And they were opened and he could see clearly. We got two different stories here, two different methods. Let's go one more story. The next one takes place in Mark chapter 10, and it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And we covered this story last summer in our Simple Summer Series, so if you want to revisit it, you can look at it in deeper there. But the story of blind Bartimaeus takes place in three of the Gospels. And that's why you can sometimes get different answers as to, is it four, is it six, is it eight? Because Bartimaeus is actually in there three times. But Luke just calls him a beggar. Matthew tells us there was another man with him that was blind also. But in Mark, Bartimaeus, he's on the side of the road, and along comes Jesus and a multitude passing by, and there's a commotion, and everybody wants something from Jesus. And Bartimaeus is like, what's going on? And like, Jesus has come by. And obviously he had heard about Jesus. He knew something about Jesus and what was going on throughout the region. And this is in Jericho. This story takes place in Jericho. And as Jesus is moving by with the crowd, he begins to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd begins to say, shut up, Bartimaeus. Nobody wants to hear from you. Be quiet. You're being too loud. You're making too much of a ruckus. And the Bible says, and he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, when everybody else is telling you to shut up and sit back, what is your faith drawing you to do? Is it saying, oh, okay, I'm going to sit back? No, push through, and he cries out even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus hears, and he turns, and he sees, and he says, bring him to me. And the crowd that one moment ago was saying, shut up, Bartimaeus, is now saying, oh, the master is calling you. But the next verse is the most important verse of the sequence. It says, he took his garment and he cast it off. And if you don't understand what's going on there, if you look into the Greek, the garment that it refers to is beggar's clothes. He was a legalized beggar. He had gone to the temple. They had said, yep, you're blind. We approve you to sit at gates and at places and beg for money so that you can survive. When Jesus called his name, he took that garment and he peeled it off saying, I'm not going to need this anymore because I'm not leaving here the way I came. Come on, that's his faith speaking. He won't shut up and is saying, I don't need to beg anymore because when this day is over, I'm going home with my sight. And he comes to Jesus and Jesus says, what is it that you want? And he says to Jesus, I want my sight. And Jesus just says to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Story number one, he touched their eyes. Story number two, he spit in the eyes. Story number three, he didn't even touch him. He didn't need to. Bartimaeus' faith had already latched on to the gift of God. Come on, I that statement last week from the woman at the well, when Jesus says back to her, he says, if you knew the gift of God that was standing before you, you would ask me for a drink and I'd give you living waters. Come on, Bartimaeus knew that the gift of God was standing before him and living waters were flowing to him. I don't need this garment. I'm not leaving here the same. Come on, what will your faith drive you to do? Do you sit back and shut up, or do you press in further to God? Come on, it's always been surprising to me that those who need God the most are so unwilling to put in any effort, any faith. We often look, well, if so-and-so can pray for me, why do you need so-and-so? Your faith is just as good as their faith. The difference is they'll use some and you use none. Now, I'll point here so I'm not pointing at you, because I can't determine that. But Jesus, throughout his ministry, when he was dealing with the sick, it was always about, where's your faith at? When he was correcting his disciples, he asked them, why is your faith so little? Why are you using it so little? Well, to others, he says, wow, what great faith. I've not seen faith like that in all of Israel. Come on, what are you willing to believe? But each of these three stories, the method was different based upon who Jesus was dealing with, what they were willing to believe. But the what we need to take out of the three different stories so far is this: whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Whatever way he chooses to use, let it be used. Don't you dare spit in my face. Well, if the Lord wants to spit in your face, you let him spit in your face. Come on. You know, I remember Jim Hockaday ministering years ago, and he was telling us a story, and we've seen this in action, where the Lord said, "Jim, hit him." And he's like, "I don't want to hit him." "Jim, hit him." And so he said to the guy, and he was this big guy, real big guy, and he says, "Well, the Lord told me to hit you." And the man said, "Well, that's great. You go ahead and do that, but if it doesn't work, I'm hitting you back." And then Jim thought in his head, "Well, how hard do I hit him?" And he had this woman from his youth, this voice popped up, that something she had said. Said, "Jimmy, if you're ever going to do something for God, you go all out." And he's like, "Okay." And he reared back, boom, smashed the guy, and the guy fell to the ground completely out. And it was kind of like, is he knocked out or did the Lord knock him out? And he got up completely healed. But the thing is, what the Lord tells you to do, you do it. The way he wants to use, you use it. And the way he did for another is most likely not the way he'll do it for you. So stop trying to make it a formula. Stop trying to put it into a box. Use your faith and believe what the Lord has said. Which brings us to story number four that we're going to focus on today, which takes place in John chapter 9. And in verse 1, it says this: "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." So we see the difference from the other stories. In story number 1, they heard Jesus passing by and called out. In Bartimaeus, Jesus was passing by, he called out. In the story of the man of Bethsaida, they brought him too. But in this story, Jesus is passing by and he sees a man. And I love that. Jesus doesn't mind being interrupted. And when he sees an opportunity, he takes an opportunity. He sees the man, who says, who was blind from birth. And obviously the disciples noticed that he stopped and is looking at the man. So they take it as an opportunity to ask a question. And it says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi." Now let's just pause there for a second. They didn't call him Lord. They didn't call him Jesus. They called him Rabbi, which means teacher. They're looking for instruction. This is a teachable moment for them, so let it be a teachable moment for us. They say, "Teacher, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So in their thinking, it had to be someone's fault. Is it the man or the parents? You have to know that bad things happen to everybody. It doesn't necessarily mean you've screwed up. Sometimes it is. I'll be honest. A lot of people walk through problems that they caused. But the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Things happen. We live in a fallen world, the world that lives under a curse. God told Adam and Eve that the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. Sin entered into the world on that day. Destruction entered into that world. Things happen, and it may not be your fault, but you know what you need to know? There is a solution, and his name is Jesus. And so it said, who was the problem, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. He said, no one sinned. It wasn't the man and it wasn't the parents, but. Now that "but" has caused a lot of problems in religious circles. But that the works of God should be revealed in him. And I've heard people interpret this as he wasn't this man's fault. It wasn't the parents' fault. This man was born blind so that Jesus could have an opportunity to heal them. Oh, that sounds like a bit of a jerk. You made someone sick just so you could have an opportunity? I think we need to get our butt in the right place here. We have to understand that the translation is into English from Hebrew and Greek, in this sense, Greek. And we chose the word that gets used there. Also, there was no chapter and verse in the Bible. We added those for ease of translation. You know what also wasn't there? Punctuation. We added that in and put it in that place. Now, the word here for but is the Greek word allo, which is a conjunction, and but is one that usually gets used, but it also can be nevertheless. It can also be notwithstanding, nay, rather, yea, or moreover. And so when you add one of those other ones, and my one that I like is nevertheless. Neither this man sinned or his parents sinned, but nevertheless, meaning because this situation is before me, nevertheless, aside from what you thought, I need to do some work here because I've found someone who's bound and I'm going to set them free. Nevertheless, aside from your questions, I've got the solution. Nevertheless, that the works of God should be revealed in him. And verse 5 says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. It can't be, I was dark for a little bit for this man, but now I'm going to bring the light. No, as long as he's in the world, he is the light. The Bible says he is light, and in him there is no darkness. Where would he have gotten the sickness? He's got none of it. It says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. You know where it came from? Jesus tells us, John chapter 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, but I have come that you might have life and life everlasting. As long as I'm here, I'm going to do what's in front of me to do. And I found this blind man, and we're going to set him free. Excuse me. And it said, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground. I don't know what it is with Jesus and spit. But he spits on the ground, and he makes some clay with the saliva. Makes a little mud ball, and he anointed the eyes. And that's a polite way of saying he shoved the mud into the guy's eyes that he had made with clay. He's like, why would he have done that? Well, the Bible doesn't give us a direct answer of why that's the way he did it. But there's some things that we can read into it that, again, these are Pastor Jordan's opinions, so you don't have to believe them. But let me just give you some understanding here of what I think. How did God make man? He formed man out of the dust and the dirt of the earth, and then he breathed life into him. There's different ways that can lead to blindness, right? Sometimes our eyes dim and just go out as there's macular degeneration, I believe is the word. Other times there's damage. Someone got poked in the eye, stabbed in the eye. You don't know what happened. I believe this man had no eyes and needed some eyes. And you realize that's not a problem for Jesus, right? Whatever the cause of the blindness was, he's still the solution. And so whatever the scale of the damage was, he can still bring wholeness to it. If he had no eyes, he made some balls of clay, the original source material, and shoved it into the guy's eyes. And when you run into difficult situations, don't let it move you at the scope or the scale of it. You know, I remember one of my professors, Dr. Kirk Dubois, he was a stoned-out hippie who got saved on the beaches of California during the Jesus Revolution and just turned his life around. And in the 80s, he was ministering in Greece. And I've ministered in Greece, love the place, love to minister over there. And he's ministering, and the Lord gives him a word of knowledge. He says that someone's got some problem with their eye. And so he's thinking, sore eye, damaged eye, blind eye. And as the guy comes up, he turns, and the guy's got no eye. And he's like, huh, that's not what I was thinking when the Lord said, eye problems. And she said it threw him at first. He's kind of like thinking, this is too big for me. And then he remembered, wait, all of it's too big for me. Even if it was a sore eye, it's still the same Jesus. And if it's no eye, it's still the same Jesus. And so he said, I'm just going to deal with this guy like it would if it was just a sore eye or an eye infection. And so he laid hands on the guy's eye. He just spoke healing over it in the name of Jesus. And he did what he knew to do, which is usually try and do what you couldn't do before. And so he said, cover up your good eye and look. Look over there. Read that sign that's over on the wall. And so the guy turned and he began to read the sign with no eye in the socket. And he's like, well, that's not how I saw that going. I thought maybe an eye would form. Maybe you would, there it's like, oh, brand new eye. Now look. No, the guy is looking out of his eye, empty eye socket, and reading. And he said, that's not how I thought it was going. He said, but next time he came there, the man's eye is back. He doesn't know how long it took to grow, but it was there. You know, Joseph Morris, a guy who ministered here a number of years ago, told us a similar story in a different situation. He was ministering, and the Lord said to him, he's like, I want you to lay hands on people who are having finger problems. Like, finger problems? That's very vague. And so he called it out, and as the person walked towards them, and they held out their hand, he realized they were missing fingers. And again, he was thinking hurt fingers, broken fingers, you know, whatever. And now this guy has no fingers. He said, but as the man stretched out his hand, come on, just like in the Bible, the man with the withered hand, Jesus said, stretch out your hand. And as the man with the withered hand did that, his hand was made whole. Just the same way this man, as he stretched forth his hand and Joe saw that he was missing fingers, bones shot up in place where the fingers were missing and flesh formed around them. And he went, ah! It was obviously this man's faith and not Joe's. But I say that because we don't know the situation of this blind man. Maybe he didn't have eyes and Jesus just grabbed some of the source material and shoved it in. And he anointed the man, the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. You know, there was other pools he could have went and washed in. There was Solomon's porch, nice pool there. There was Hezekiah's porch. There was lots of pools in Jerusalem, but Jesus sent him to the one that was called sent. And when Jesus sends you somewhere, you get a moving. Come on, we can look back to the story of Elijah and the Syrian general with leprosy. He came and he bangs on Elijah's door. Elijah doesn't even come to the door. He sends his servant and says, go wash in the Jordan, dip 7 times, and shuts the door. And the Syrian general gets mad. He's offended at it, and he's marching himself home. And his little servant, who was a slave that he had captured from Israel, says to him, if he had asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? And he's thinking, there's cleaner rivers back home in Syria. Why would I go dip in the garbage that is the Jordan? And she says, if he asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? And so he swallowed his pride, dipped 7 times in the Jordan, and came up clean of his leprosy. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, you do it. And as long as you're unwilling to do it, you're going to stay the way you've been. Come on. If there's not ever that step of faith, I'm stepping out and things are going to be different from here on out, you're going to stay the way you've always been. Step out and go where you're sent. And it says, he washed and he came back seeing. And therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. And others said, he's kind of like him. And this kind of leads me to believe why he had no eyes. Because when you've got empty sockets, your face looks sunken. Come on, you've probably seen pictures of people who are former crack addicts or meth addicts and how their faces, and they get a new pair of teeth and it just kind of changes their whole look. This man, now he's seeing with bright, vibrant eyes and they're like, is that him? He doesn't look the same. He looks similar. And he said, no, it's me. And they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay. He spit first and used clay. He made clay. He anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed and I received my sight. And they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know, which is a very true statement. When he talked to Jesus, he couldn't see. And when he left for the pool of Siloam, he couldn't see. He doesn't know what Jesus looks like. He doesn't know the direction he left. Where is he? I don't know. Ask somebody who was there other than me. It says, and they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. I love that statement that they say, formerly. And this is something I've learned over the years. I used to work in prayer and healing school when I lived in Oklahoma. And we could always tell the outcome of a situation when people came in sick about how they treated their sickness. The people that came in and were saying, my cancer, they left with it. The people who were saying, the cancer, left it at the altar. Why? Because they took possession of it. It's not your sickness. It's not your anxiety. It's not your depression. You may be experiencing anxiety. You may be experiencing depression. Don't take possession of it. There's a difference between it trying to take hold and you taking hold. And so this is not the blind man. This is the formerly blind. Don't take possession of what the enemy comes peddling. It says, now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, I see. What's the problem, guys? Pretty simple. And therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Come on, you can always spot a religious spirit so easily. It's the one saying, well, that was not proper. He shouldn't have done it that way. We need to do it this way. Well, they probably wouldn't have liked when he was there spitting in the dirt. Come on, they probably didn't like when he spit in the eye. Come on, it doesn't matter what the religious think. It matters what God thinks. And so they said, he's not a man of God. He does this thing on the Sabbath. You can't make clay. Come on. A man was set free. Shouldn't that be the focus of the story, guys? Shouldn't the Pharisees be like, wow, well, one less beggar on the street because God has restored him. He can now go live a normal life. But no, they care more that a little bit of mud was made than a man was set free. Come on. You can find religion when they care more about the process than the one who has been delivered. And the others said, well, how can this man be a sinner and do such signs? And there was division among them. And this is why Jesus had to die. This is why the Pharisees decided he needed to die. Because their own people were like, well, he can't be that bad. Look what he does. And they thought, that's a threat to our power. We need to kill this man. And he said to the blind men again, what do you say about him who opened your eyes? And he's like, well, I guess he's a prophet. Well, that wasn't the answer they were wanting. He says, but the Jews didn't believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. So now they're saying, this is all a ruse. This is a lie. He wasn't blind and he wasn't made to see. They must be trying to trick us. And so they called his parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? And his parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes, we don't know that either. He's of age, ask him. He'll speak for himself. And you think, well, yeah, he's just old enough to speak. No, that's not what they were saying. The next verse said, his parents said these things because they, what? Feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, they'd be put out of the synagogue. The synagogue was the lifeblood of society. That's where a lot of business was done. That's where a lot of socializing was done. They'd have their service in the temple, and they'd go out into Solomon's porch, and they'd conduct business and have social time. And it was the lifeblood of society. And his parents feared the Jews. They feared what they would lose if they agreed with him. Come on, there's only one person to fear, and it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So his parents said, he's of age, ask him. And so they called the man again who was blind, and they said to him, give God the glory. Well, no one was arguing that he was not giving God the glory. And they said, we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And that's all the evidence you really need in your life. When others say, well, this is not possible, and you can't do that. And you go, I was blind, but now I see. When people tell me that the gifts of the Spirit isn't for today, I go, I was blind, but now I see. Once you've experienced, you don't go back to how it was before you saw, right? The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, and I will continue believing he's good because I've experienced the goodness of God in the land of the living, just like David said. Man, he said, I would have lost heart if I had not seen the goodness of God right here where I live. He says, I know I was blind, but now I see. Come on, we give glory to God, and we remember the good things that he's given vision to us in. Come on, when he's shown you what to do, where to go, he's delivered you out of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love, that's all that matters. I was blind, but now I see. And they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he said, I told you guys already and you didn't listen. What, do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple? That also is an important word, meaning he's already decided. I don't know who it was that did it. I couldn't see him, but I'm following. Come on, I'm following after him. I'm going to let him be the one who directs my life. Do you also want to become one of his disciples? And they reviled him and said, you're his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. And we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. And now the man that was born blind starts to get a little snarky with him, and I like it. And the man answered and said to them, wow, this is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he's from, yet he's opened my eyes. He's saying, you had no solution for me, but I found the one who is the answer to everything in my life. This is a great thing. This is a marvelous thing. You don't know anything about this? I'm going to follow the one who does. It says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. And since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of the one who had been born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So the man ran a little logic. You couldn't do anything. Only God could do this. You say he's a sinner, but look, he does the works of God. Follow after God. And they answered and said, you were completely born in sins. Come on. It comes back to the initial question. Jesus, teacher, rabbi, whose fault is it? This man or his parents? And when they had no other answer for the situation, what did they throw at the man? You're full of sin. It's all your fault. And you're trying to teach us. What they're saying is, we're holy. We're perfect. No, they weren't. There was only one perfect. There was only one holy. His name was Jesus. And it says, then they cast him out. And when Jesus had heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking. This is the first time that Jesus reveals who he really is. To a man who was born blind, he's seeing the world anew for the first time, and Jesus is putting him on the right path from the beginning. I am the Savior of the world. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And that's really the only response. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, you do it. Where will your faith lead you to overcome? Is your faith inactive, wants to sit back? Or does it press through and say, Lord, I'm here for my sight? Come on. What areas of your life is there a spiritual blindnesses that you want to break through? Press into Jesus. He is the solution. He brings sight. He brings whatever it is you need. As we said last week, he is a flow of living water. Water that brings life and health to all your flesh. Whatever it is you need, he is your solution. In just a moment, our Word Care team is going to be right up here at the front. And whatever it is you need, they would love to pray with you, celebrate with you, testify with you, whatever it is, whatever you need, take advantage of them being there. Don't leave here as you came. Go home saying, I was blind, but now I see. As for the rest of us, let's have some coffee and tea and some good conversation. You guys are blessed. Have a wonderful week.